Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've been working in our lives, not only today, but Lord, this past week. Lord, and if we really look back and we look back upon all of our life, we see how you loadeth us with blessings each day, Lord. And Lord, how you provided for us and how you kept us through difficulties, through trials, through sin and temptation, Lord, when we've succumbed to those areas. And Lord, how you have forgave us, and Lord, how you blessed us tremendously, unworthy as we are, to receive such blessings and grace. Lord, we just thank you for your amazing grace toward us. And Lord, I pray that we'll live in light of that, and Lord, that we'll walk in light and not in darkness. And Lord, be ever grateful and always giving thanks to you for all that we are because of you. Lord, we thank you for just the blessings that we see today. And Lord, we pray as we enter in this next week, Lord, that upon our minds would be and our lips will be thanksgiving to your name, and Lord, that we'll be desiring to please and honor you with our lives, that our life will be truly a living sacrifice to you. So Lord, I pray you'll keep us humble. Lord, keep us obedient and keep our heart close to yours, for we ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we're going to start in we're going to look at a few verses, and then we're going to go to a few other places, but Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. The good that we want to do and we know to do, oftentimes we don't do it. The bad that we know not to do, and we say we were not going to do, what do we end up doing? We end up doing that. This really struck on my mind. We think about the sins of commission, sins of omission, and we use those fancy words. But I'm going to talk about one area, and I've seen really, and I think the Lord showed it to me the past couple of days. A lot of y'all know that one of my part-time jobs is working for a funeral home. And so I help a funeral home, and so I get to go to a lot of funerals. And you can hear a lot and learn a lot by seeing things and hearing different funeral services and seeing some of the people and seeing some of the things that's been said about the individuals. Well, a girl I graduated with, yesterday, she was buried yesterday. I hadn't seen her since that time. And it really, different things, I'm going to try to link it all in here, but just hearing the different things about this individual, she was murdered, they don't know all the details, they're still investigating, and she was found in a motel room in Jacksonville. And I went to high school with her, and I've thought about her different times because she grew up about two blocks from me. And I saw another classmate of ours yesterday, and she said, you know, I had been in touch with her throughout different times, and I had really been thinking about her about 2 weeks ago. She just came upon my mind, and I wanted to call her, I wanted to contact her, but I didn't. The same young girl that was murdered lived in North Carolina during the time that Cheryl and I was up in North Carolina, probably about 20 miles from us. And while she was up there, I thought, you know, she was married and had a family. I said, you know, we should call her and just to see, let her know, hey, invite her over to see us. But I didn't. Now, I know God is sovereign and in control, but I wonder how many times throughout the week the Lord has prompted upon you, upon your heart, things to do. You don't do them, and time slips away. And a day goes by, another day goes by, and the good that you should do and you know to do, you do not. And then you're struck with a pain in your heart, like yesterday, the sadness of saying, well, I don't know if it would have made a difference, but, you know, I might have been an encouragement during a special time. During that low time, I might have gave the right words to minister grace to that person and to minister to them in their time of need and encourage them and really touch that heart. It may be a phone call. It may be a letter. It may be a visit. But the good that we ought to do, we do not. And, oh, we have the excuses, and I have a lot of excuses. And so really, at my heart, I preach to myself because I know I'm guilty of it. The good that we do and do not, to us it's sin. Turn with me to James. James Let's look to James chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be of tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that way, or to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. Such rejoicing is evil. Don't boast about tomorrow. We mentioned that many times. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. I don't have a list of things to do. And as my heart thinks, I'm like, you know, we could have a good list of things to do. There's many good things that we can encourage people to do. I don't know what the Lord has laid upon your heart, but I know if your life is anything like my life, throughout the days and throughout times, as going throughout the week, every now and then I get my plans and I have my idea of what I'm going to do, and then again, little thoughts pop into my mind. Now, that's the devil trying to say, well, no, these thoughts are good thoughts. It's some to call someone to check on, to say hello, how you're doing, or to visit with someone, feel that burden and that compassion. It's of God. And it's telling us and prompting us, being led by the Spirit, to do things and to do ministry. And I'm not trying to burden you with a load of stuff like the Pharisees are saying, that you need to go out and talk to 10 people this next week to fulfill that. I don't know. It may be that the Lord has laid upon your heart and placed in your path one person for you to minister to this week. And to do that, and to know that God is calling you to do that, and to reach out and touch that old friend or acquaintance, and to minister to him, it's a tremendous blessing. How do I know that? Because I've received that same type of blessing. And you, if you think about it, more than likely God has blessed you with someone doing that through a letter, a phone call, or visit. This isn't all the message, but I want us to think about that. For us to know to do good and don't do it is sin. And the blessings we have when we're obedient and doing it, we don't know what chain of events that the sovereign God of heaven and earth can work out to bring about blessings in that individual's life as well as ours. Like I say, from what my friend shared with me yesterday, she had been in contact throughout the years and had really encouraged this young lady in different ways, and the girl has struggled with different issues of sin. And I think we all have family and friends that struggle with issues of sin, depravity. We look in the mirror, we see, but by the grace of God, there goes we. And so it even says, not even to even brother Christians, we need to encourage them and show faith and show our love and compassion to them, but also to those who are walking wayward. We need to lovingly talk to them, urge them, beg of them to turn, to repent. If God gives them the grace to repent, to turn, and to give them the warning in love. And so to know to do good and do it not is sin. Let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans, and we're going to skim down on a few other passages. Now, in verse 20, I think we're going to skim down a little bit more. This whole passage here in Romans 7 and Romans 8, it goes into Romans 8, talking about the... Now, if I do... Verse 20. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I want to do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Another thing I want us to look at is the sin that we know to do good and do it not, but also we as Christians, when we're to know to do not to do sin, and that's what we do. When we sin, when Christians sin, when we are involved in sinfulness, when we fall short, when we miss the target that God has said, this is a holy standard, be ye holy as I am holy, and then we commit sin, what are we to do? What are we to do? Is there any hope for us? What are we to do? You answer back. This is
repent.
What is also a promise of Scripture? Where is a Scripture we can go to if we
confess?
Turn over to 1 John 1:9. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. See, as a Christian, we also will get caught up in sin. There will be times when we will commit sin and we need to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. But a lot of times, does one sin kind of like a link to another sin? It's kind of like you get the camel's head into the tent. What is the old saying? The whole camel will eventually come into it. Sometimes when we start committing a sin and we're involved in that sin, it's like taking an inch, we want to take a mile. Even though in our mind said, this is wrong, I shouldn't do it. For example, gossiping. We've already said something bad about somebody, gossiped a little bit, then somebody feeds that a little bit more. We know the Holy Spirit's prompting us and saying, stop it, you know, stop, I'll give you a way of escape. But we know we keep on going right at it. We continue to engage in that sin. And then after we walk away, we feel the burden. We feel conviction of sin. We feel guilt. We feel ashamed. What are we to do? We're to repent. We're to have a humble heart. We're to pray to God and we're to ask for forgiveness. It's like dieting. If you go out and you say, I'm going to have a diet, I'm going to be on this diet, I'm not going to eat anything, and now this is my, if I've blown that diet, and I'm not a big dieter, you can tell, but if I'm on, this is a big thing with dieting because of the human nature, we say, okay, I'm not going to eat any sweets. But then someone offers you a small piece of pie, say cheesecake, that's my favorite, say cheesecake. If I had made a commitment for the whole next 2 months, I'm not going to eat cheesecake, or I'm not going to eat any sweets. And then someone offers that cheesecake to me, a very nice cheesecake, not a store-bought cheesecake, mind you, but a really someone who knows how to cook cheesecake. And it's offered there, and it's a thin little slice. So it's tempting, and I'm like, okay, I'll eat just a little bit, one bite. But it's so good, it's so creamy, it's so delicious, and my mouth is watering, and I just want, what do I need? I need just one more bite, and one more bite. And then I start saying, wait a second, I have just blown my diet. What then does our human rationale say? If another part is offered to me, another slice is offered, what should I do? Eat it. Eat some more. Just go and eat the whole thing. It's better to ask, you know, forgiveness instead of permission. So we all kind of rationalize it. The same way it is with a lot of other sin. A lot of sin, we're the same way. We will not repent of it. We're like a dog who's at a bowl of food that's hungry. We're devouring and eat it. Even when the Holy Spirit is bringing to our mind conviction and saying, stop, don't do it, repent, flee. We go at it. We don't stop. We don't stop midstream of that sin and repent of that sin. Now, is that possible? I believe it is. I believe we see in the Old Testament, we see individuals who were so steadfast that they had trained. They had kept their body in subjection. They had kept their mind focused upon God and upon His statutes and His ways. You remember, who was placed in a household and given a lot of charge over a lot of stuff? And he was being tempted every day. Every day he was being tempted sexually by the lord of the house, wife, Joseph. And when he met with the temptation, what did he do? He resisted, and you look and you see over and over where men who fell to the temptation. We see King David, but we see a man of Joseph who said no, and he fled. Even though it cost him great harm, he fled sin. We're told over and over to flee things, flee fornication. What are some other things that we're to flee from in Scripture?
Idolatry.
So 1 Corinthians deals with several things we're to flee from. So that's a strategy, but even when you're tempted, We were prayed, lead us not in temptation. But when that temptation does come, we are to flee from it. But if we succumb to it, we are to ask for forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying, let me be clear on this. I'm not giving you a strategy where you can dabble in your sin and things will be okay. Where you can say, okay, I'm going to just have this pet sin and I'm going to nurse it and it will be okay and I'll just take it out and play with it because, see, it gives me a lot of great satisfaction to have this sin over here. I'll take it out and play with it, but then I'll put it back in. It's like the little girl who was walking beside the road and she saw this, it was cold, and she saw a rattlesnake. And the rattlesnake spoke to her and said, I'm cold, please pick me up. And she said, no, you're a rattlesnake. And he said, I'm cold, I'm going to die if you don't pick me up. So she picked the rattlesnake up and put it close to her, kept it warm, and cared for it and rubbed its little head. Then the rattlesnake bit her. She said, you said... And the rattlesnake said, I'm a rattlesnake. That's the way sin is. It will bite us. It's not to be played with. It's not pretty. See, a lot of times we think sin is just against Brother Billy or against Brother Philip or against a preacher or against a teacher or against the church. King David said, Lord, against you, God, I have sinned. You're like, wait a second. He killed. He did other things. He said, no, sin offends a holy God. All sin is not trivial. It's not cute. It's sin against a God of heaven and earth, and it offends Him greatly. But we're still entrapped to it. We still commit it. We still go to it. And we still pamper it. See what it says. Let's turn to Romans. Let me see. Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans 8. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. See, we need to be about the business of putting sin to death. Our task as Christians is to be killing sin daily. Because if you're not killing sin daily, sin is killing you daily. And it will cause ruin. It will cause death. It will cause destruction. It will cause so much heartache in this world and so much grief upon those you love if they see sin just racking and taking a body to destruction. And that's our task we need to be about. We need to really be earnestly understanding that there is a way of escape. We're to flee from sin. Flee from sin and flee to Christ. We're also to fight the good fight. We're to fight. And this warfare we have is in our minds. And a lot of times, it wasn't that Joseph was just such a good man all the time, but he had already determined his mind and already set safeguards and checks in his mind. Turn over to it with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Or Ephesians chapter 6, I'm sorry. A lot of times these things are won in the heart warfare, the turf of our hearts and our souls and our minds. This is where the warfare takes place, deciding that you will not look at that which is unclean. You will not focus your mind on filth and perversion. That you will make covenants with God that you will keep. And you will ask Him with His grace and help that you will abstain from anything that will offend Him. And that you'll know God's Word, that when you're tempted, you'll be able to quote back, as Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days, He answered with the Word of God each time when He was tempted. Can we do the same thing? When we're offered all the things and allurements of this world, do we have from the overflow of our heart the Scriptures to help us in our time of need to lift up and say, I will not be tempted by that. The Scripture says that adultery is sin against God. And also wanting everything that my neighbor has, that is wrong. That's coveting. And stealing from my employer, even though how I try to justify it, those things are wrong if it's still in time. And having that in our mindset, and having our minds being renewed with Scripture, it all starts in our mind. It's all making up in our mind and our heart that our affections will be toward God and not toward the things of this world, and not trying to satisfy the flesh. Another old analogy that's often used, it's like you have two dogs that live within you. Which dog survives is the one that gets fed the most. So you try to put to death the dog of the flesh, and you try to feed the spiritual man and feed him on the Word of God and grow. But how are we to do it? What are we to put on? It says, verse 10 out of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We need to have truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. This is the standard. This is what we need to base true. Listen, relativity, what's true for me may not be true for you, and all the stuff, very subjective world religions today, if it feels, I don't feel that. Most of us have reverted to that, as with the TV we watch, as the radio, we live and we swim in a worldview that says there's no absolute truth. What's true for you may not be true for someone in another part of the world. And it can be very dizzying, because there's a lot of good logical explanations for all that, and you think, man, these people are very wise. But this is truth. This is God's Word. It will never lead us astray. There's great mysteries. There's parts we don't understand. We pray for grace and knowledge for God to give us and to reveal things to us. It is true that He reveals the truth to us through His Word. But listen, this holds the revelation of God. It's truth. This is true. Gird about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherefore we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to engage this battle. We are to engage the spiritual warfare, and we are to flee the devil, and we need to be foot soldiers. The thing about it is, what a lot of times happens, say it's Monday or Tuesday, and you've just kicked the dog, you've just yelled at the wife, and you just went off to work and had a bad day or two. I mean, just things have not been going your way. Is it too late for you? Can you chalk up the whole day and say, God cannot use you that day? 2 hours later, somebody comes who needs to be ministered to. Their heart is open to the ministry, but your heart is cold and dead. You're like, I don't want to talk about God. I went to church Sunday. That's okay. I'm doing well. But I don't want anything to do with all that. Because, see, I've already blown it. I can't help them. I can't even help myself. Well, that broken and contrite heart is when you need to pour out your heart to God and say, "Good Lord, I need you. Go back to those that you've wronged after you've asked forgiveness from God. Go back and make restoration." I think it's very powerful. Someone comes back to you. You may not even really thought it was that big of a deal, but you know, Cheryl had an instance this past week that she shared, and really made me think highly of this young lady that Cheryl was in a meeting with, and got a little bit out of hand as far as some things that was said. It was nothing ugly, no profanity, but it was a little bit of cutting gossip. And Cheryl met the lady the next day in a meeting. The lady came to her and said, the girl sought her out and said, "Listen, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that." You know, and I think that's what we need to see. We don't have it all together all the time. We serve a God who's all together all the time. Throughout eternity past, throughout eternity present, He's perfect in every way. And we have great riches and we have great access. We can do all things through God who strengthens us. But we're going to fail. And people need to see that we fail, but we are striving. We're striving to live obedient. We're striving to let the world know that, yes, while we are like them, We have peace. We have joy. We have righteousness, not because of what we've done, but it's because of Christ. It's who Christ is living through us and our lives being surrendered and yielded to the Holy Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a powerful testimony for a Christian to be humble and to go to a workplace and minister. There's places, Brother Philip, Brother Billy, and myself are marked men. There's places when we come around, just because of our, they're going to talk different. They're going to act a little bit different. I don't know why, but they do. But there's places you can go and minister. People you can minister to, people you can get alongside and become friends with. I'm not saying condone their behavior, because the Lord will, in time and due season, the Lord will give you an opportunity, and a lot of times they'll hear it. I worked in an environment where 95% of the people lived ungodly lives. Great people, I cared for them, I loved them. But I remember one thing, and all of them advocated all kind of bad lifestyles. And I'm not bragging about myself, trust me, because I fell short and they saw me make many mistakes. But when the rough times of life came, I had many of them call me or come and say, "Hey, John, will you pray for us? Or what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? You know, this is my second, third marriage, and I don't want to end like the other two. What should I do?" And then their heart's tender. And you're able to show them. And you're able to minister to them and love them and pray with them and pray for them and truly have the compassion that Christ had. See, this week, God's going to give you opportunities to write letters, make phone calls, many things, might be go visit, might be to give, might be able to give financially to somebody, whoever, however the Lord wants you to minister to somebody. Remember, to know to do good and do it not, that's sin. But when we sin, when we ourselves are sin, it's not too late to back up and step and flee from that and ask for forgiveness. Remember, we're told also that if we see the speck that's in our brother's eye, what we got to do? We got to first take out that log. So it all goes together. We go with a cross-eyed view. We see ourselves in light of the cross of Calvary, and we see that cross. There's a vertical beam, and there's horizontal beams. We see that we sin against God, but we also see our responsibility. The individuals around us and how we're to live and be. So my prayer is that we will truly be the church that practices the church scattered, the church scattered, but the church scattered that practices pure religion. It's my prayer.